This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, Acts 4, 32 to 35. You can follow along on page 148 in your pew Bible. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Please set aside your bulletins and your pew Bibles and lift up your heads to see and hear the proclamation of the good news of the Word made flesh in Jesus Christ. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. So, do people hold grudges around here? See, I'm pretty new to Iowa. I haven't been around that long, and I don't know about here, but some other places that I have been, people sometimes held grudges. In my mind, I can see so clearly the faces of many people I've known, wonderful, loving, kind people, in so many other ways. And yet, some of these good folks were at the same time children who would not speak to their parents, brothers and sisters who would have nothing to do with one another, neighbors who had filed lawsuits against the person on the other side of the property line, and maybe on the other side of the church building. Former spouses who only communicated through their children, and not always in the healthiest of ways. Brothers and sisters in Christ who refused to pass the peace with one another. Church members who left because someone did something and they will never come back. But maybe it's different here in Iowa. In these parts, have you ever heard of anyone holding a grudge against someone else? It may start out small. Someone didn't do what they should have done. Something goes too far, does something they shouldn't have. A misunderstanding, a disagreement, an offense, some hurtful act. And then people stop talking to each other. They avoid each other. It can go on for years, decades even. And this can happen with one of them not even knowing about it. Do things like that happen around here? Yeah, I guess it happens everywhere. If anyone ever had a good reason to hold a grudge, it would be Jesus. His own disciples betrayed him, denied that they even knew him, left him to die alone. And then, when he came back from the dead, just like he told them that he would, he sent Mary Magdalene to tell them, and they didn't believe her. They have been told the good news, and here they are, hiding in a locked room out of fear. If anyone had a right to hold a grudge, it was Jesus. But Jesus doesn't stay away. He didn't cut them off. He won't wait for them to come back to him. Jesus doesn't even knock. And when he shows up, his first words are not, "I told you so." Instead, he says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Jesus is there to forgive because he knows that not forgiving, retaining sins, just like he tells them, means holding on to them. And when you hold on to something like that, it weighs you down, keeps you from moving forward, it gets you stuck. And Jesus has got things to do. He is moving on. He is going forward into new life. He is bringing others with him. And nothing is going to hold him back from that, especially not a grudge. So Jesus says it again, just to make certain that everybody has heard it. Peace be with you. And when Jesus gives peace to the disciples, he doesn't mean a feeling of calm, a feeling of inner tranquility, being free of cares or worries. When Jesus says peace, he is talking about the peace between people. Jesus is bringing the peace the disciples desperately need, the peace that is in forgiveness. The peace to know that they have been forgiven so that they can move on too. The peace to be able to forgive just as they have been forgiven, because they are going to need it. Jesus is sending them to proclaim the risen Christ in a world that will not trust their word. Jesus is sending them out to people who will have a hard time believing, to people who will harden their hearts against this message, to people who will refuse and reject them. There will be many, many opportunities for grudges against those who reject, who refuse, against those who see things in a different way, against those who go in a different direction. But the disciples can't let anything slow them down or hold them back, especially not grudges. They need the peace of Christ so that they can forgive, so that they can move on, so that they can keep going forward into new life. And right away, the disciples get to experience how hard this task will be. With Thomas, one of their own, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. They had brought the greatest news, the best news in the world, and the way Thomas reacted to it, to them, well, he might as well have slammed the door in their face and locked it. How could the good news ever get inside? His heart was shut up tight. They could have given up on Thomas. They could have rejected him right back. But they don't. Because they remember it took more than a few tries before the good news could reach them in a way that they could receive. The disciples do not turn away from Thomas because the peace of Christ is with them, the peace they have received as a gift of forgiveness. And now it was time for them to forgive Thomas, to stay with him, to stay in relationship until Christ could come to him in the way Thomas needed, until Thomas could see Christ for himself. And when Jesus shows up again, the first words out of his mouth are not, "I told you so, Thomas." And you know what? The other disciples don't get to say it either. Jesus comes to us again and again, showing us signs of the resurrection when we doubt, and we do. Coming to us with words of forgiveness when we've rejected him, and we have. Reaching out to us with open arms when we've hidden away in fear. It happens. Jesus comes to us again and again with his peace, a peace we are meant to share. So remember, when you receive the peace of Christ, it's not just time to shake hands with your friends. It is time to practice sharing Christ's peace, which means you have to get up and out of your seats, leave your comfort zone, extend yourself out to someone that you just didn't or couldn't before. And when you offer that peace, say it and really mean it. Peace be with you. And if you can do it in here, with one of our own, with another disciple, you just may be ready to share that peace of Christ out there, just as Jesus is sending you all to do. Amen.